Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Mark Van Every has spent nearly four decades in the forestry business. Since August of 2016, he's been the supervisor for the Black Hills National Forest, and since his arrival, he's dealt with mountain pine beetles, new recreation trails, an extended fire season, and much more. Van Every joins us now by phone to reflect on that career and to look at what's next for the forest and for him. Hey, Mark Van Every, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Congratulations on this sort of next stage of life. First of all, it's a big transition, isn't it?
It is. It's going to seem strange not getting up every morning and heading to work and helping to manage the National Forest.
Right. Now, I went back this morning and I listened to the first interview that you did with Charles Michael Ray from South Dakota Public Broadcasting at the time when you were brand new coming to the state, even though you had more than 30 years of experience in forestry service at that time. And he asked you what some of your top priorities were. And at the time, if you don't remember, mountain pine beetle was definitely on the list, and you were looking at recreation opportunities and reducing fire danger and really overall building a resilient forest. Now, a few years later, did those end up being the priorities that kind of defined your time here in the Black Hills?
I think so. I think that we certainly spent a lot of time working on wrapping up the response to the mountain pine beetle epidemic. We're now past that. I think it was very successful, but it doesn't mean the work is over. Certainly from a recreation standpoint, there was a lot of interest in expanding some of our recreation opportunities on the forest, and I believe we've been successful in a number of those, but still, again, have additional work yet to do. And then some new things that I didn't anticipate at the time, but that came up over the course of the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about some of those, because when we talked to you the first time, I mean, I think you'd really been there like a week or something. So we were asking you to set priorities when really you hadn't quite gotten your feet too far firmly on the ground. What were some of the things that ended up being also priorities?
Well, you know, we're blessed on the Black Hills National Forest to have an advisory board that is composed of 32 members that volunteer their time to help with management of issues and to help us identify issues. And one of the big issues that came up, of course, was the non-motorized trails and demand for new trails or different types of trails. And we've been very successful working with the advisory board and a number of other partners to develop a new non-motorized trail strategy. That gives us kind of a roadmap for where we're headed in the future with that program, but has also resulted in us being able to add some new trails that provide new recreation opportunities for our users, including a trail system out of the community of Sturgis, Devil's Bathtub area in Spearfish Canyon. We've been able to work very closely with the county, with the state, to develop a new parking area and are working towards a new trail access point to that area. In addition, we have a couple of new trails that we're working on in the Rapid City area to meet the demand there. In addition, motorized recreation and our motorized trail system has really taken off. It's been very, very popular both by residents of South Dakota, but all across the Western United States. And so we're working together on a motorized trail strategy to look at how we manage that for the future to ensure it's sustainable both ecologically and economically and continue to provide those opportunities for well into the future.
What are some of the things that you really have to balance when you talk about sustainable trails and sort of the environmental impact on use, but also, you know, opening up the door for access and getting people out into the forest to really be full participants in it? How do you sort of balance some of those things? Do you have a set of, set questions that you ask, or is each situation really unique?
Well, there's certainly a certain level of uniqueness to each situation. Some new challenges for us are social media and how that has highlighted and made available areas that maybe we hadn't prepared for or planned for use. And Devil's Bathtub is a great example of that. The use was coming whether we were prepared for it or not. So we had to sit down with all the folks involved and talk about how do we ensure that we're doing this in a way that protects the resources so the very thing that people come to see doesn't get destroyed by their use or cause negative ecological consequences. But at the same time, we also need to manage people, and we needed to manage where they park, how we deal with human waste, how we deal with trash, and how we be respectful of other people that own land in that same area. And so that's one option. Usually the best options for working through these are identifying what those ecological concerns are. It might be a cultural resource. It might be a sensitive wildlife area, or it might just be an area that is experiencing erosion and sedimentation as a result of extensive use. And we have to figure out what our options are on how we address those things. But then it's sitting down with the people that have an interest in that particular issue, brainstorming together. And I think the things that have been most rewarding to me is solving those difficult challenges in a collaborative way where numerous people are involved, but we work together, we're willing to make compromises, and we come up with a solution that works as well as possible for everybody involved.
Take me back to when you started in the Forestry Service, and as what were you thinking your job would be like? What drew you to this kind of work? At some point you move up in an organization and you become, in administration, and you're having those meetings. Is that, but probably you didn't get started thinking, I'd love to go have some meetings. Tell me how you got your start.
Right. No, I think I had a lot of opportunities growing up with my family and through various different youth organizations to spend time in the outdoors, and just really enjoyed that and felt like that was something that I would enjoy doing as a career. So I started out hoping to spend at least a significant amount of my time outdoors, helping to manage those areas, but also enjoying them at the same time. And certainly had that opportunity early on in my career. My very first job in the Forest Service was in Alaska, working on the Tongass National Forest out of Juneau, and just a beautiful area, incredible resources, and a great way to start out my career. And I joke that I followed the humpback whales that year to Hawaii because I moved from Alaska to Hawaii and worked for the National Park Service there, and have had numerous opportunities to work in some incredible places across the country that are public lands that belong to all of us. And very thankful and honored that people have been willing to entrust me with those responsibilities. And I hope that I've left those public lands that that we all enjoy better than I found them.
For people who are interested in this kind of career, who are interested in being part of that overall mission, what's some of the advice that you would give, and what kind of person is really well suited for this kind of work?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of amazing. When I started out, it was very competitive, very difficult to break into a permanent job in any of the natural resource agencies. And that's been the case for a long time. But here recently, we're seeing fewer and fewer young people going into that field. I think a lot of times it's because they don't think there's any jobs available. But we have a lot of jobs available right now. And if it's a career that you're interested in, there's jobs that involve working outdoors, but there's also positions that, like any business, have to help us with things like managing our financial resources, doing contracting work. They might be helping serve the public at our front desk positions. So there's a lot of different paths to get into the agency. And I would say if folks have an interest, go talk with your local Forest Service office and ask them about what jobs are available. They can also go to our national website called USA Jobs and look up what jobs, not only with the Forest Service, but other federal agencies like the Park Service or the Natural Resource Conservation Service that we have in South Dakota, and find out what jobs are there. Different jobs have different education requirements associated with them, so it's good to start thinking ahead. And then the other thing is just really encourage folks to look at the seasonal jobs where we hire people for the summer. Is those that are out of high school and maybe starting into college or in college. It's a great way to kind of test drive, get a chance to try out some different types of positions in the agency and find out what you're best suited for and what you're most interested in, and then you can tailor your education to move in that direction.
What's next for you and your family? Because you've lived in some really beautiful places and have experienced them firsthand. What are you looking forward to now?
Well, you know, we've been very fortunate to live in a lot of different places. My children have all scattered to different parts of the country and are doing well on their own. And so we're looking forward to being able to spend more time with them and also our parents. But getting out and enjoying the outdoors with more time than I have currently and being able to benefit from the efforts of people across the country that manage public lands. But I also plan to stay in the Black Hills area. We've been really captivated by the area, and we just really love the people in the area and looking forward to spending more time here.
We were hoping that you would say that because of all the places been from Minnesota to Alaska to Colorado to Texas to Hawaii, that you want to hang out here with us. That's truly special indeed. Thank you for your service and thank you for your time. You've always been a great resource for us here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting as we talk about conversations that involve the forest, and we appreciate that, and have a very pleasant and satisfying retirement.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the work that you folks do in helping us keep the public informed on the management of their public lands.